Pour your spirit out. Pour your spirit out. life. I literally just heard the Lord say, call it forth to life. So whatever's dead in your life, whatever dream that you've had, whatever the Lord has spoke to you, whatever promise that has been laying dead in your heart, and you've kind of just pushed it aside, the Lord is calling you tonight to speak to it by faith to come alive tonight. It requires our action tonight to speak for it to come alive. Dead things come alive, dead things come alive, dead things come alive in the name of Jesus. Dead things come alive, dead things come alive, dead things come alive in the name of Jesus.
Take a little bit more than that.
Dead things come alive.
You Savior, worthy of glory forever. Something comes out of the grave. Every time I call you Jesus, I call you healer, risen and reigning in power. Something comes out of the grave. Every time I call you Jesus, I call you Savior, worthy of glory forever. Something comes out of the grave. Every time I call you Jesus, I call you healer, risen and reigning in power. Something comes out of the grave.
Thank you.
Let us hear. thank you for the Holy Ghost in this place tonight. Thanks for coming out on a Monday night. A Monday night, that's okay. Jesus is still here on a Monday. Yes, he is. Amen. I thank God for what he's getting ready to do tonight. Amen. We have, obviously, Dr. Bill in the house, and he has a word in season for us. I was talking to him in the back just a couple minutes ago. I'm excited for what he's going to bring to us tonight. You know, last year, he called and he wanted Nicole and I to go up and see him at his main ministry in Chicago. And we're like, us? You us? You know, okay, we'll be there. So we got a date, and Nicole and I, we drove up to Chicago, and we went to his ministry. And man, some people think this place is big. This place is none compared to how big Brother Bill's ministry is. Oh, my gosh. You get lost in that place. It's big as a hospital. It's huge. But anyhow, and, you know, I've always said this, and I've said this for a very long time. You know, it's good to learn from our mistakes. It's good to learn from our mistakes. It's better to learn from other people's mistakes. Come on, somebody, amen. But the best way to learn, in my opinion, is from other people's accomplishments. And this brother is accomplished right here. Come on, amen. And so it was an honor for us to go and to spend a little bit of time, you know, with Brother Bill Winston in his private office and sit down and just humble ourselves as he encouraged us and told us, like, it was almost like we were his kids. Now listen, son, listen, daughter, you need to do it this way. You know, let God build the church. You can't do it. It was beautiful to listen to wisdom, to listen from accomplishment. And so we were so honored that you had us up there. And so we're honored to have him here today. Come on, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. So right now we have a video that we're going to be showing you. And then as soon as the video is done, the next voice you will hear is Dr. Bill Winston. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on. Praise the Lord.
Dr. Bill Winston is a visionary leader and global icon, known all over the world as a faith general. With just $200, he and his wife, Veronica Winston, moved to Chicago to start Living Word Christian Center. Now, over 20,000 members. Bill Winston Ministries, taking the gospel of the kingdom to the nation. With TV and radio broadcasts reaching over a billion households worldwide. He is the founder and president of the nationally accredited Joseph Business School, with partnership locations stretching five continents and having hundreds of churches around the world under his covering through Faith Ministries Alliance. With an uncommon faith that has produced two shopping malls, Joseph Wealth Management, a registered investment advisory firm. The Carver Innovation Center, Harvest 365 Restaurant and Fresh Grill. Living Fresh Grocery Store. Living Word Christian Center School of Ministry, Royal Christian Bookstores and Cafes. And Rise, a groundbreaking prison ministry that is turning jails into boarding schools. Every aspect of the anointing on Dr. Winston's life is designed to catapult you into your destiny. With an undeniable and proven track record, Dr. Bill Winston is a trailblazer, apostle, soul winner, philanthropist, visionary leader, best-selling author, man of integrity, prophet, pastor, entrepreneur, veteran of faith, mentor, and a beacon of hope to the next generation. Dr. Winston is a faithful steward of the gospel of Jesus Christ and a force to be reckoned with in kingdom exploits. The message you're about to hear is no ordinary message. Get ready to receive a message that will change your life. Let's welcome Dr. Bill Winston.
I think the rains, we're getting rain too. It's this time, there's a reason for the rain. And it's the rains of the anointing. And they're going to be poured out on God's people fresh like never before. And so I just want to talk tonight about a time for miracles. Yes, sir. And you could see I need one. And I'm after it because I used to have conferences and all we did was make the miracles happen, and so forth. But nevertheless, I'm not anxious about anything. God is here, and I try to make sure I'm in the will of God, whatever I do. So being here is just a privilege. Thank you very much for having me. We want to talk about these miracles in terms of why the miracles. The miracles were used to distribute solutions and supplies in the earth. They were God's way of getting this kingdom supply into a world that was crying out for help. And Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Over in Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. By the way, is there somebody over this side? Over this side, no. And you want to come up and read the scriptures for me? Somebody over on this, just raise your hand if you'd like to do that. Okay, anybody? Okay, yeah? Come on up. Now, I'm paying wages for this. So,
it's an honor to do it.
Amen. Well, I'm going to give you $100 anyway.
Thank you, and I'm
going
to give it back to you.
Oh, no, we'll talk about that.
Okay.
All right.
Little room.
Okay? Now, okay. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Okay? You got a Bible that is big enough to, I believe we can use that as a sailboat.
It's got King James Amplified.
Oh, it does. Okay. All right. Well, excuse me. All right. All right. Now, let's look at just the King James for us, okay? All right? 14:15. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15.
Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the
kingdom of God is at hand."
That's awesome.
"Kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel."
All right. He is saying, repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent, change your direction. Change the way you're thinking and believe the gospel. So apparently this gospel must have been different from the way they were thinking. And so Jesus brings the kingdom and he calls it, what he was preaching, the gospel. Gospel means good news. Am I right about that? All right. So it's a way of distributing solutions and supplies for humanity. And this solutions and supplies are distributed miraculously. So when they had nothing to eat, John chapter 6, they had nothing to eat, Jesus said, "You feed them." And right there, the disciples said, "What? 200 penny worth is not sufficient enough to feed all of these people. In other words, 6 months' wages or whatever have you. So Jesus said, one of them said, there's a lad here. He has 2 fish and 5 barley loaves. Jesus said, that's enough. Bring it to me. So he took it, the loaves and the fishes, and broke it and began to distribute it to the people. Now notice, kingdom distribution. He was actually taking 2 fish and 5 loaves and feeding approximately 15 to 20,000 people. I don't know how much this auditorium holds, but I'm talking about 20,000. Now he fed them with 2 fish and 5 loaves. That's called a kingdom distribution. Now the kingdom is somewhere. And in Luke chapter 17 and verse 20. Luke 17 verse 20. That's all right, just take your time. I'm gonna wait till you get there. And then we're gonna go to the other side and get someone. All right, 17:20, okay? All right.
And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation.
It doesn't come with observation. It comes with revelation.
Amen.
Keep going.
Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there.
Behold.
For behold, the kingdom of God is within you.
So the kingdom is within you. If you're born again, raise your hand if you're born again. All right? You have the kingdom in you. And it's capable of supplying all the people in this city. One person. Now, this is the kingdom. It came in you when you got born again.
Yes, sir.
And this kingdom not only has supplies, but it's got solutions. It's got solutions. When we were in our first location, maybe you can put it on the board. This is where we first, back there, that's right. That's called Lake in Pulaski. That's the location of it. It was just it held about 15 people, 20 people, and that was a crowd. And so we had that location. Well, after about 6 months, a lady came in the place. She kind of swung the door open and came in. She said, where's the pastor? I said, I'm the pastor. She said, I need to see you. I said, you see me now. She said, the drug dealers have taken over our street. Now, the kids can't go play. The adults are terrorized. What are you going to do about it? I said, come and get in this circle. Let's pray. See? I'm seeking first the what?
Kingdom.
See? I'm not telling her to go down to the police department, tell the people. No, I'm not telling the former block club, not that. I'm seeking first the kingdom. And so as we prayed, God spoke to my heart. He said, take this bottle of oil, blessed oil, and bless it, and give it to her and tell her to pour it down the middle of the street. I did exactly what God said. You know what she said? Give it here. See, now, when you're desperate, you'll do foolish things. See, you won't think about it because you're desperate. And she was desperate. Well, about 4 days later, she came back. Pastor, I said, what? Guess what? Well, I knew what, because the word won't return void. See? And so I knew what. I said, what? She said they came out the next day for 1 hour. Now, they used to come out at 12 noon and leave at 12 midnight. She said they came out for 1 hour, left, and never came back. Okay? Kingdom supply and kingdom solutions. Seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. See? You don't seek what you think of. You know, you have no original thoughts, in case you didn't know that. You are not made that way. You're made for an overlord. So you have no original thought. Now you think you're original. Guess what I thought of? No, you didn't. Either God thought of it or the devil thought of it. You see? You have no original thought. So when you get past that, you'll stop giving yourself credit for the thoughts. God said in Isaiah chapter 55, he said, your thoughts are not my what? Thoughts. And your ways are not, well, come on. My way. He was talking to a bunch of people who were rebellious. So notice this kingdom, supplies and solutions. So she rested in peace. But guess what? That was 30 years ago. Till this day, they never came back. They never came back. Because these are permanent solutions.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, sir.
That's a kingdom in you. I just want that to marinate a minute, because you need to learn that, wait a minute, that kingdom is in me. You mean I could do something in this town that nobody can do, or I can have something nobody can have? Surely. Because that's the way God is pointing to you and said, look at my example. And therefore you'll have influence. And then you can tell people Jesus saves.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you can bring them in. They'll follow you then. You know, people want evidence today.
Yes,
sir. You know, somebody come talk about how much money they got or how wise they are. You say, show me some evidence. You know, in the city, you used to see an old wino. He's going to all of a sudden give you wisdom. Oh, let me tell you what I did back in 1945. But anyway, so I'm just saying, if you got a kingdom in you, show some evidence.
Amen.
See? So seek ye first, come on, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these, come on, things will be added to you. Now, I'm saying something here because I came through the city and I saw a lot of farmland. What happens when there's no rain? You can make rain.
Yes, sir.
I have to give it to you. Now, you said that, Pastor, you're going too far. No, I'm not. James talked about a man. He told it not to rain, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. Then he called rain back, and rain started. That was Old Testament. You are New Testament. Say amen to that. So that's the first one. Second one. He wants miracles because they authenticate the gospel. Look at Mark chapter 16 and verse 20. As a matter of fact, I believe you can just turn right around and read it on the screen. Yeah. Oh my. See, I'm giving you an easy way to make this money. Okay, go ahead.
I knew I liked you.
Yeah, you knew you liked me. Okay, go ahead.
And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following.
Look at that.
Amen.
He confirmed the what?
Word
with signs following. See, he wasn't confirming them. He was confirming his what?
Word.
It authenticates the gospel. See? He confirmed it. Now, a last one here is on this, why miracles? Because they make you masters. M-A-S-C-E-R-S. Masters. So, if you look at Mark chapter, they'll put it on board. Look at Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Hallelujah. It's an easy way to make money. Okay, just leave. Okay.
And the same day, when the even had come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side.
Okay, keep reading. Just read on down.
And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they wake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was great calm.
They come. So he's stopping the storm. He's stopping a storm. Now, I truly believe that tornadoes, hurricanes, and so forth, you see in the news media and what kind of damage they've caused. I believe that a believer who is a son, not a baby. Believers that are babies, put it up there, please. That's Psalms chapter 8 and verse 2. Believers that are babies. Let me show you the power they've got. Psalm 8, 2. Read.
Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, and thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger.
They can still the avenger. If you've just got saved, you can start praising God and make the devil shut up. If you just got saved. So notice, Jesus called them little children. Because, see, they hadn't developed yet. But if you look at 1 John chapter 3, in verse 1, let's look at that, please.
Behold.
Let's go. Okay. Yeah, is that right?
Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God.
Sons.
Therefore, the world knoweth us.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
Is that right? You're getting carried away. Look at Romans chapter 8. In verse 19, Romans chapter 8 and verse 19. Remind me to give the person in the back some little help. Well, money always helps. Okay. All right, read.
For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God.
The creature waiteth for the manifestation of sons, because sons can control atmospheres. And whoever can control atmospheres can control political conditions.
Amen.
So you can have something to say about who gets elected.
Yes, sir.
powerful.
Amen.
So this storm came in, and they woke Jesus up. Jesus said, peace, what?
Be still.
And that was a great what?
Calm.
And then he turned to his disciples and said, why are you so what? Fearful. Why didn't you rebuke this? See, they had faith to do it, but they didn't. See, I know they had faith because Jesus is the author and what? Finisher of our what?
Faith.
Finisher. He is the one that when Peter said, if that be you walking on the water, tell me to come. And Jesus said, come. And Peter walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now we know he didn't walk long because he looked away and began to doubt. But he did walk. Now if you don't think of something, run some water in your bathtub tonight and try to walk. But he walked on water. So Jesus knows what level your faith is at.
Yes, sir.
And he is not going to let things come on you that you can't do something about. That's right. God is a good God.
Amen.
All the time. So I'm just saying that now he's kind of chastising him. He said, hey, where is your faith? How come it is that you have what? No faith, zero. Everybody in here has the measure of faith. If you put up there Romans chapter 12, verse 3, Romans 12, 3, and let's read that.
For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith.
Every man, that's born again, you've got to measure faith. And how do you get your faith to get strong? You got to use it. You got to use it. Every time you use it, it gets stronger and stronger. And Jesus, being the author and finisher of your faith, knows exactly where your faith is at. He communicates with God. Oh, no, you got enough faith to get that new house debt-free now. You got enough faith. So he knew what kind of faith I had. So he told me, put up that first location again, Lincoln Pulaski. All right? Close. Lincoln Pulaski. All right? Now, I had to get enough faith to move out of that place to our next location. Put it up there, please. That was our next location. And we didn't move again till people were lined up all down the street waiting on the next service. Multiple services. And then put up the next location, please. Now that one, we didn't even put a sign in the window. That's your faith. I'm talking about filling up this auditorium with your faith.
Yes, sir.
I don't care if there's not that many people in the city. What's that got to do with it? Are you all listening to me?
Yes, sir.
So I'm saying faith does the impossible. Oh, I can do that. Well, then we don't want you to do it. I'm going to give you something you can't do.
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm telling you. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good. Nice. Yes, sir. All right? Then put up that when I was there, we were there, three services full, 800 people a service, because that's all it would hold, and multiple services. Then he said to me, buy that shopping mall. I said, I must be hearing things. So I went on home. And then the next Sunday, he said, buy that shopping mall. Whoa. I called my executive, one of the people on the board. I said, Brother Claudio, I think something is telling me to buy that shopping mall. Go over there and look at that thing and see how big it is and so forth. So he came back and said, yeah, Pastor, we can buy that little piece on the end down there. I said, God didn't say nothing about buy the end. He said, buy that shop. Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Every believer in here has faith. God wants to develop it. But you to help God is going to take faith. Can't help them otherwise. That's called works. You can't help them. He needs your faith to get your prayer answered. He needs your faith. Come on. These are things that he needs.
Amen.
And he has put you on the earth for solutions and supplies. Amen. He'll put them right through you. This is wonderful. How am I doing?
You're doing great.
Okay. Amen. Now, let's move to the next section. And
What happened to miracles?
Okay. What happened to miracles? What happened to them? And you can look at the first thought we have there.
Leaders fail to preach faith and the kingdom.
All right. Leaders fail to preach faith and the kingdom. I want you to look at Numbers. Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13, let's just start at verse 30 and read right on through. Numbers 13, start at verse 30. And read right on through, okay?
And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw giants, sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight.
Now notice, 10 leaders said, we can't do it. Remember, I said Jesus is the author and finisher of your faith. 2 leaders said we can. Let us go up at once let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able. They didn't say able. They said we are well able to overcome it. So that's what they said. But notice the ones who got the crowd's attention. The 10 who said, we can't do it. And that's the same thing about things in society. When I was going to get that shopping mall, or I was putting up a bank, or I was, They said, you can't do it. There's no way. As a matter of fact, they're not going to let a black man buy that mall. See, that's the first thing they use on black folk. You're the wrong color to buy that mall. Now, understand, the Bible says, let's give it a chance to read it. Look at Acts chapter 10 and verse 34. Now, let's just look at that now and then put that up against, they're not going to sell it to you.
Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons.
Oh, wait, read that again now.
All of it or just the no respecter of persons? Okay. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons.
Keep going.
But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him.
Has the same access to his blessing.
Amen.
So, Pastor, you can have a jet because you're from America. I said, God is not from America. God was here before America got here.
Amen.
But in every nation, he that feareth him, see, you believe the word. The word is what you believe.
Yes, sir. That's right.
And there are people that are convincing other people to not like this person or not like this president or whatnot and so forth because they're not looking at the word.
That's right.
They're looking at 10 leaders.
Amen.
10 leaders took a whole nation
backwards.
Ten leaders took a whole nation, the nation of Israel, backwards. Caused them not to go into the promised land. Careful what you hear.
Amen. Amen.
No. If you read the Bible, it'll tell you God is no respecter of persons. Now, some people say, well, you don't know what I've done. God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Doesn't make any difference. Bill Winston, you're not going to sell that mall to you. I said, why? Because your color. Oh, is that right? Well, put it up there. Put them all up there. And the mall got Bill Winston written all over it. See that? See, don't follow those kind of leaders. I don't care if they're in church.
Come on.
Don't follow them.
Amen.
Am I getting through? Am I talking to you? Is it okay if I tell the truth?
Yes.
And shame the devil?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yeah. I'm telling you. That's why I had to come to town, because some of you had the wrong idea. I knew it was the reason when we was going through them cornfields. I told you that was the reason for me being here, didn't I? Amen. So this is wonderful. God has made you a leader.
Amen.
My goodness. Like they said, I saw it on somebody on TV say, you better recognize. All right. Okay. What's the next one? All right. Look at Romans 10:14, please. All right.
How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe of him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?
Whoa. So God has put the preacher here to preach the truth. And how will they hear without a preacher? God has made it so that the marketplace needs a preacher. He's made it so that you're not here just for a tradition. He's made it so that you need a preacher. Because he's going to put certain things through a preacher that you need. I call it kings and priests. Now, there may be some people here that think they don't need a preacher. And I'm telling you, you do. Because only a preacher would tell you to tithe.
Yes, sir.
Y'all didn't know I was coming that way, did you?
Yeah.
I'm shaming the devil now, I'll tell you. Okay. But anyway, we all need a preacher because there are some things he won't give a person who is not a preacher. And so when I see the church going wrong, I blame the what? The preacher. So the church is a person, the group that's supposed to give moral guidance to the world.
Yes, sir.
So if something's wrong with the world, I first go back to what? Come on, to church. And if something's wrong with the church, I then go back to, come on,
the preacher.
Every time. Because somebody told them that.
Yes.
And it's not true. You are not sovereign. You cannot have your own created thoughts. And somebody didn't do your thinking for you. That's what people think. I thought of this. And, you know, you didn't think of that. That was a combination of you getting it from somewhere else or you seeing it in your past or you're hearing somebody talk about it and you put two and two together and so forth. But a human, a believer, has no original thoughts. Jesus said, I only do, come on, what I see my Father do. That's it. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, sir.
And you can hear the Father clearer than any people who don't know God can hear him. So you can lead them. All right, let me just keep going. I got a ways to go. All right? Are you with me?
Yes,
how we doing? Okay. Next.
Under too close to the world, judges.
All right. If you get too close to the world and don't have that truth, then the world will influence you, such as Samson. You've heard of Samson before. So, Samson loved this lady named who?
Delilah.
Everybody know that, boy, I'm telling you. Okay. All right. Now notice, he was not supposed to do that, but he did. And that's, look at Judges chapter 16 and verse 20. Look at that. 16 verse 20.
And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he woke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he was not that the Lord was departed from him.
My goodness. She didn't know. He didn't know that God had departed from them. That's the best, that is probably one of the worst places you can be, is to have God depart from you. He said, okay, you're on your own. And it's not by power, nor by might, but by what? My spirit, says the Lord. You need him.
Amen.
And so he didn't know that. The Philistines came to him and bound him up and shaved off his head, and he was weak, the Bible says, like any other man. Boy. And then they took him and put him to work. Watch this. Put out his what?
Eyes.
The first thing the world does is takes away your ability to get revelation. His eyes were out. He couldn't see anymore. And when Satan gets you so you can't see, he will work you till you sweat. And he put Samson to work, grinding, so forth and so on. And Samson was a laughing stock for the world. And when the church cannot see revelation anymore, they become work. They become work fodder for the world. Yeah. Now just hold on. I got good news. Now don't run out on me. Okay, I got some good news. You were wondering where the good news is, aren't you? Okay. All right. So it was a bad situation. So the enemy has been taken over. And when I say taken over, he has been gaining ground. Next thing you know, little boys' penises are cut off.
Yeah.
That men and girls' sports.
Yeah.
This is what you get when Satan is when the church has really gone to sleep, when the church no longer is getting the truth and so forth. So that's what happened.
Say that.
It was terrible.
The Bible stopped being believed as a literal word.
And Noah says, the Bible, well, look at, I think it's something 22 verse 8. It's on that last. 2 Kings 22 verse 8. Now watch, I got good news, come. We're gonna be shouting and carrying on. But first, I got to tell you the real deal. You know, let's go.
And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan and he read it.
Oh boy. They were cleaning up the house of the Lord. They were doing some remodeling and landscaping and so forth. But then they pulled up one big brick and found the book.
Yes,
sir. I found the book. Well, what book is it? The book of the law, the Torah. And he took it to one other person, and they took it to the king, and the king read the book and ripped his clothes off. That's how far they had strayed from the truth. I found the book. And some churches have the book and not even preaching. No, because sometimes the book will cause you to straighten up. Yeah, it'll cause you to the book. And so as a result of that, they kind of water down the book. 2 Timothy says,
it says 3:16.
3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16. All right? 2 Timothy 3:16.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
For correction.
No. Thank you, brother.
Don't give it back to me now. I want you to keep it.
But
I want you to just take care of your church or whatever you want to do. But this is for you.
But I want to sow it into good ground, so I'll get a 100-fold return.
Now you
can't
mess,
argue with that.
You messing with me now. You are challenging me.
I'm not challenging you.
I know.
I
do 100-fold. All right, give me the microphone. All right. Give her a hand clap, somebody. Oh, I'm telling you. Man. Let me see. You messed me up. Now I don't know what I have. Okay. All right. Okay. Let's get somebody from over this side. Give your hand. Okay. All right, come on up. Yeah,
yes.
Come on up. Man. All right. No, don't stand too close. All right. All right, the next section.
The rains are coming, former and latter.
The rain is coming. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Now, let's look at Joel. Let's look at Joel and chapter 2 and verse 23. Joel chapter 2. Verse 23. You can read that.
Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month.
Now, the former rain is for rounding up the souls. It's for getting people into the kingdom. The latter rain is for beautifying the church. For beautifying the church. Now, these are going to come together. Now, if you look at 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21.
41.
Pardon me, 41. All right.
And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain.
There is a sound of the abundance of rain. Now, what this is saying is that he has a prophetic notion that something is about to change. And it's about to change, I'll put it in today's setting, and for the church's good.
Yes, sir.
Something is about to happen. That God is going to put both of those rains together, and we're going to see a drastic change in what's going on. Look at Numbers 14 and 28. Numbers 14 and 28 through 31. Okay.
Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fail in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun.
All right. Now, God was talking about the people who said the giants in the land, and he said, you won't go in, but I'm going to take your children, and I'm going to take them in. So the only reason you're staying alive is for your children's sake.
Yes, sir.
To get your children, and I'm going to take you in. Next.
The wealth transfer is at hand. The wealth transfer is at hand.
All right. So he's talking about possessing your possessions. And that is called the wealth transfer. Now, a wealth transfer is about to take place.
Yes, sir.
I'm prophesying it.
Yes, sir.
Right now. So this transfer was about to take place with something like 2 Kings chapter 7, and start reading at verse 1. All right? Reading at 1.
Then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord.
Now, he's about to prophesy. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Keep going.
Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time.
Tomorrow about this time. Now, I'm not saying it'll be tomorrow. But it's going to be soon.
Yes, sir. Amen.
About this time. Keep going.
Tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria.
It's going to be plenty, and it's going to be cheap. Tomorrow, groceries are not going to be the same prices that they are. Come on.
Yes, sir.
So I'm saying the way you get it there is to speak it there. See, this is a prophetic church.
Right. Amen.
See, if you want something that is not being seen now, you want something that's not being seen now, you can speak it into existence. Say amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
You are the ones that have the blessing. Amen. Say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
I have the blessing.
I have the blessing.
I can decree a thing.
I can decree it.
And it shall be established.
And it shall be established.
See? Now, put up there Matthew, and Matthew chapter 16 and verse 19. 16 and verse 19. All right?
And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.
Now, I want you to put that same scripture up in the CEV translation. Watch what it says. Oh, they're not putting it up? Oh, working on it? Okay. CEV. They don't have the CEV? Well, give them your computer and let her read from that. All right? Somebody got it on their system? Quickly. Come on, 16:19.
I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And God in heaven will allow whatever you allow on earth.
Come on now.
But he will not allow anything you don't allow.
If you don't allow. Well, grocery prices have gone up. Well, church, you are the stewards of this earth. You allow it, God will allow it. So say something.
Yes,
in the name of Jesus, I decree that by tomorrow, them grocery prices will be down. Can I get a hand clap off of that? He'll allow what you'll allow. You can have the grocery prices down in this city with Dothan, what's the name?
Botkin.
And watch this. they be up everywhere else.
Amen.
You can do that because you have authority in the church.
Yes, right.
The church is God's authority in the earth. That's beautiful.
Yes.
All right? All right, let's look and see what else now.
Ecclesiastes
2 and 26. Look at that. Ecclesiastes 2 and 26.
For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he giveth travail to gather and to heap up, that he may give it to him that is good before God.
He will give it to him that is what?
Good
before God. He wants to transfer the wealth over to his people. I'm telling you. So I'm saying the things that are happening in the earth, you've got something to say about it.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That you, no, it's a new sheriff in town.
Amen.
You are the new sheriff. You can get in this place and pray one night, have a prayer meeting, and watch things change tomorrow. Because he'll allow what you allow. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Charles Finney.
Okay. Well, we won't do Charles Finney. Charles Finney, if you've ever read anything about him, he didn't allow it. He'd come to a city, pray, and through his prayers, he and one other man, all crime would stop. Not only that, the courts had nothing to do. Not only that, it stayed like that for a generation.
Yes, sir.
That's Charles Finney. The church, any church, they are the custodians of that city. You got something to say about the state of Ohio. You got something to say about the governor.
Yes, sir.
You got something to say. I don't know who it is now. Don't look at me like I know who it is. I'm trying to get the governor out. But I don't know who it is. But if somebody wicked gets an authority, that's not who's supposed to be in authority. Because you want the righteous to be in authority. So the people can what?
Rejoice.
That's what the Bible says. So I'm just saying, you know, this is what's happening. You see, probably one of the things that, oh Lord, I'm getting politics now. But people are trying to get people in office that are not for the things that are in the Bible, which, come on, they're not against same-sex marriage. Or they're trying to get them in. And you can't let them in.
That's right.
Because you got something to say.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
All right. What's next?
Last days, amazing grace. Ephesians.
The last days. Say last days.
Last days.
How many of y'all believe we're in the last days?
Yeah.
We're in the last days. The last days, amazing grace. What do I mean by that? Let me show you how grace works. Let me show you. Because sometimes you've heard it and heard different ways of grace working. But here's how it works. There was a woman caught in adultery. And she was caught in adultery. And I want you to read over at John chapter 8 and verse, well, let's read verse 8 through 11. This is the way grace works. All right?
And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus left it alone, and the woman standing in the midst.
Now, let me stop right there before she needs to put next verse. This woman was caught in adultery. Now, they didn't bring the man. They just brought the woman. Let me say that again. They didn't bring the man. They just brought the woman. And they were all saying she should be stoned because that's what the law said. So Jesus said a few words. Then he got down and wrote on the ground. And I have a feeling he wrote on the ground some of their personal business. I just got that feeling, but we'll let that ride from now. And he wrote on the ground. And then he asked the woman, where are thy accusers? Because they walked away one by one. And put the scripture up there again. Read.
And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst.
Keep going.
When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers?
Keep going.
Hath no man condemned thee?
Watch this. Keep going.
She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more.
Now, wait a minute. You are asking this woman to live perfect. He didn't say that sin. He said sin, period. No more. Now, I just told you, you're coming into a time of grace.
Yes, sir.
Now, what does she do with that? Go and sin no more is seed. She would take that as a seed and put it in her heart, her spirit. And meditate it until it takes over her life. She could live that way because Jesus could live that way. He could live without sin.
Yes, sir.
And he was giving her the seed that she can live like him. You see? She becomes that Paul was bitten by a snake and shook it off. Why didn't he die? Because he had taken some snake oil. No, I'm just kidding. He had taken a seed that said no evil shall befall you.
Yes,
he is gay. See, you can, it doesn't mean you live perfect.
Right.
You can't do it. But his grace is sufficient.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
That means that you can get his word and live according to any part of his word that is written. You take that word, sow it as a seed in your heart. Take that word, meditate it, and soon that word becomes the way you act.
Yes, sir.
Say amen.
Amen.
Look at Matthew chapter 15, verse 13. I'm almost done. Matthew 15, 13.
But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up.
Now, every plant, let's call it every tree. Now, in my portfolio, I think I may have some seeds in there, I think. And then, what are these?
Tomato.
Here's a seed package with tomatoes. Okay? Every one of us has been sown seed. And that seed is the way you're conducting your life right now. The reason for the church is that the preacher is supposed to be a farmer and sowing new seed. And seed that he gets from the Word of God, he is sowing it in the people. And if you sow tomato seeds, what will you get?
Tomatoes.
So he is sowing seed to let you know, for example, if you need to get some money, then you need to give some.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen. Let me go over this way. Amen. Give, come on, and it shall be.
Yes.
Come on, come on now. See, we didn't learn that from the world. We learned if you give, you're going to give out. But Paul said, look, put it up there, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 15. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 15. Watch this.
Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only.
But you only. And that is only to be sown by church, by the preacher into church folks. If you have never been sown a seed of tithing, you have a problem with it. I don't have no seed for it. My belief system is not in you, what you're talking about. But when I get the seed, I'll do it gladly.
Yes, sir.
This shopping mall, put it back up there again. Shopping mall. You see the shopping mall? I said, God, what seed should I sow for that shopping mall? He said, Joshua 1:3. Put it up, please. Joshua 1:3. Look at it.
Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I sent unto Moses.
Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I have what?
Given
unto you. I sowed that seed. When it came up and grew up to a tree, now it's going to affect my deeds.
Yes, sir.
Seeds, trees, and deeds. See? I'm asking, when you, by grace, you have a seed, so when you have no grace and it becomes religion, you're just trying to meet the standards of the kingdom without any grace. You've not built inside of you a new thought pattern, a new way of thinking, acting, and so forth. I'll tell you, when I got saved, I mean, I sold my Corvette, I sold my apartment, my luxury condo, and guess what I bought? I bought a rusted out Nova, because I was going to please God. And that's what I'm talking about. You try to do it yourself. I tell you, folks, I got married, and about 6 months after I got married, I said, I think I'd have married the wrong woman. And I started thinking about it. I said, okay, let me see how I can get rid of this. It's, now, I'm saved, but, you know, I'm trying to get rid of it. I said, well, let me see. Now, I went to a meeting, and the brother had a book there. It called Praying God's Word by Ed Dufresne. I took that thing and started looking through it, and it said a prayer for you, and then prayer for your wife. I said, well, let me read this prayer for my wife, because I don't need no prayer. And I read it, and I said, my wife is a virtuous woman. She always does me good as long as there's life within her. The bread of gossip, and she will not eat. She gets up early, gets spiritual food for the house. She assigns her maids their tasks. She goes and all kinds of stuff. Read that. And then I said, wait a minute, why am I reading that about my wife? That's not true. And so I read it one day and then read it the next day and then read it the next day. That's grace. Yeah. It comes into me and changed my whole way of looking at a female. Because I came from a family, mom and dad just fought. And that was in my system. It was a wrong tree. Now, in church is where you plant new seed.
Yes, sir.
And it'll give you a different way of acting.
Amen.
Say amen to that.
Amen.
So then, me and my wife, after 40 years, have been living high on the hog. Y'all don't have no hog down here, do you? Okay, but we've been living like a marriage made in heaven. Because I planted new seed. That's called the grace life. That's what it is. So Paul sought the Lord 3 times to deliver him, and God says, my grace is sufficient. For your power, my power is made perfect in your weakness. And that's for you. That's for me. So we try to do it ourselves. No. He is saying, if you try to go up against the devil yourself, he will manhandle you. But with my grace. So by grace are you saved.
Yes.
Through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone but boast. So there's a song that I'm sure all of you have heard it. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. So God is not trying to hold something against you. God is trying to give you something that you never had.
Amen.
Never all of it, our lives, we've been trying to work for it. No. If you work for it, he can't give it to you. It has to be by grace.
Amen.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
So I'm saying to you right now, for you should study that grace and understand that God is going to put you in the best place you've ever been, not only financially, but socially and everything. He's going to take you to the top.
Yes,
he's got big plans for you.
Yes,
and this is time for God's grace. Did you get something out of that?
Yes, sir.
So, wait a minute. I'm going to try this. One more time.
Put me on the spot.
She said, I'm putting her on the spot. No, she has a revelation of sowing something. And different people are at different stages of growth.
Amen.
You know? So I want to give you this and take it.
Amen.
And I'm saying that think about his grace.
Yes.
That different people, different levels, stages of growth, and God bless you.
Come on.
Amen. Yes. All right. God bless you. All right. Look, did y'all get something out of that?
Yes.
Offering. We're gonna raise an offering. And I want to start it off first with $500. So for those who got something out of it and think it was worth me coming, I didn't come here to raise an offering for me. I said I was going to raise an offering. Pastor asked me to do that, and I'm gladly going to do it. So if the band would come back up, if y'all have gone home, they're okay. And the praise and worshipers, amen. Come on up. And we're gonna, it's time to sow.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Say amen. It's the best time in the church. It's time to give. Hallelujah. So let's, if you will, are the people here who, okay. No. Ushers, don't come with no small little pan. Okay, all right. All right, all right. Praise God. Amen. Amen.
Amen. For those online, it's a QR code.
For those online, the QR code, you can get that. They're going to come up. Okay. All right. That's the way to give. Amen. All right. For those online, check the QR code. It tells you what to do. Get that. And so forth. Hallelujah. Okay, singers. They up there? All right. Singers, let's have something. Praise God. All right, let's get standy feet.
Come rest on.
me just say a prayer over the offering. Father, we thank you for the privilege of giving. Now, Lord, as we have given, we declare it is given unto us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, men shall give into our bosom. Father, we declare that we hear the sound of the abundance of rain. And Lord, that wealth transfer is coming to this church. And Father, you will let everybody see that Jesus is Lord. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, say amen. God bless you. I'll see you next time. Praise God.
What a great message. Let's give a round of applause for Dr. Winston.